The seminar, Refurbished Housewares Products, Unlocking New Markets, Not Cannibalizing Sales. I'm Mike Duff. I'm from the IHA-affiliated publication, Homepage News. Here we have Chris Lubick, who is Vice President, Business Development and Social Impact, VertiCommerce, to talk about refurbished opportunity and how to engage consumers looking for such product. Refurbished products obviously are getting more attention than ever. They have environmental advantages. They can help people, especially young people, deal with inflation, and they create incredible values. Consumer behavior regarding refurbished electronics has shifted dramatically over the last decade, with consumers, including Gen Zers, embracing them, but the acceptance and even enthusiasm has expanded. And it's expanded, obviously, into housewares. With the right outreach, more companies have a chance to benefit from the trend. And with that, I give you Chris.
Thank you, Mike. Let me just make sure you can hear me all right. Does that sound good? Good. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. And good morning. Thanks, everyone, for joining me in what I hope is a really enlightening conversation about refurbished goods and the incrementality opportunity that exists within them. I want to thank the IHA for having me to kick off the Inspiration Speaker Series. This is the first one, so excited to be here. And just to add on to what Mike said, a quick introduction for myself, Chris Lubick, Vice President of Business Development and Social Impact at VertiCommerce. We are a value-added remarketing partner based in Buffalo, New York, that helps leading brands, many of whom are on the show floor today in the housewares industry, remarket their certified refurbished, their excess, and their end-of-life inventory via a business model predicated on sustainability, value recovery, and transparency. And so, very excited to be here. By a quick show of hands, would love to just get a sense for the audience. Can you raise your hand if you work for or you're affiliated with a brand or a manufacturer? So one, two, three, Roger. A little slow to the gun there. Okay, so we've got a few. So am I correct in saying typically you guys are always looking for opportunities to find new customers? You're never happy with how many customers you have. Is that fair? Okay, I see nods. Thank you for that. And so the good news is that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how we can leverage refurbished goods to find incremental customers and to do so in a way that's very advantageous for the brand. And so I'm excited to get into this conversation. Just a quick housekeeping note. I am going to be asking for audience participation throughout the presentation, including the next couple slides. And so I know it's early, but I know all of us have had at least one coffee. I see a few in the audience. So if you could humor me by participating even a little bit, I would appreciate it. I think it'll add to the value of the presentation and what we all take from it. Make sense? Awesome. All right. So let's get started. Has anyone ever used Slido before? Are you familiar with it? Okay. No downloads needed, no software needed. But if you can do one of two things, which is scan that QR code, which will take you to the website, or just type into your URL, slido.com, and then enter in the 7-digit number that you see here. We'll use this for the next two slides to help us have a bit of audience feedback. So I'll give everyone a second to go ahead and do that. Welcome. Good morning.
Morning.
So we're already getting some responses. All right. So once you get to Slido, again, that you can do either through slido.com or the QR code, you'll have a very simple question pop up, which is, have you ever purchased a refurbished product? And so if you haven't yet, please go ahead and participate. You'll see the number of responses we have in the top right-hand corner. So please go ahead. I'll give it another minute before we just chat about this a bit. Couple no's. I actually did this presentation earlier this week at the Reverse Logistics Association, and everybody was a yes, which was surprising. But they are reverse logistics people, so I guess you should expect that. Great. So we've got 12, and we're going to continue to use this app for the next slide, so please keep it up. And so interesting just to see, and I think we might apply this information later on in the presentation, there's quite a few people that are already buying refurbished products. And obviously we could ask a million more questions about this, but let's just keep that in mind for now and get to a slightly more interesting discussion. So this is a word cloud, and so this should just appear on your app if you still have it up. And what it is, instead of a yes or no, you're going to actually just enter a word or a thought, a phrase of what comes to mind. What do you think about when you think about a refurbished product? This could be bad, it could be good, it could be whatever pops into your head, but please go ahead. What we'll see is, afraid it doesn't work, sustainability, less cost. If we get any duplications, those words will get bigger. Affordable, okay, so value, of course. But I wanted to focus specifically on some of the more negative terms. So nervous, risky, cheap, afraid it doesn't work, less cost, cheaper. Right? Always if you hear the word cheaper versus affordable, you think maybe there's a gap with how good the product is, right? Affordable, still taking the lead, trade-in, risky. I think it's clear that there's certainly some predisposition to believing that refurbished goods are not as good, right? And I think that's fair. I think that's an intuitive thought. And so you'll see that, and in the surveys I've done so far, typically you see quite a bit of that customer concern around what a refurbished product is, the value they're going to get from it. And so for the folks that did put that, those kind of responses, you're not alone. And so I'm sure everyone's used Google before, and you've started to type some level of characters or words in, and you'll see that Google will autofill what is the most likely finished statement that you're going to make based upon prior searches. And so what do we see here? Our refurb, good, good, good. Are they good? Are they good? Are they good? What do we take away from this? Outside of course, the fact that we're very thankful that Apple is not in the housewares industry. We appreciate that, right? But there's quite a few people who don't know if refurbs are good. They're looking for an answer. Can I buy this? Is it a safe purchase, right? And so it's interesting just the level of, I think, negativity or concern around refurbished goods. And it's really just a lack of education and understanding that that refurbished goods actually can be in very great condition, and that's what we're going to be talking about as we work through this a bit. But I want to dig a little deeper. So let's dig in with using Google Trends. And if you're not familiar with Google Trends, it's a free service that Google has. You can just go to trends.google.com, and it allows you at a high level to do some research using their search data, right? And so what I've done here is I'm searching the word refurbished and getting some data back. And so this is over the last 12 months, the level of interest by subregion, which is in this case by state. And so the color or the shade of blue indicates the frequency of the word refurbished as a search term across all other searches in that region or in that state in this case, right? And so you'll see number one is New York. I think I'd like to take credit, or Verdi would like to take credit in this, because we are based in Buffalo, New York, but I don't think that's actually the case. What you see, what don't you see? Any blank states, any really light blue colors, right? And so while there are some states that don't search for refurbished or don't have it included in a search phrase as often as New York, they're all searching for refurbished. There isn't a market in the United States today that doesn't value the term refurbished, and likely they're more often than not, based upon the previous slide, thinking about it from a shopping or e-commerce standpoint, right? And so let's dig in a little more, because my guess is the cynics among us, and I'm one, are thinking, well, you're really only comparing refurbished against itself. What if we compared it to a different search term, something that we found was relevant? And so given the venue today, I assume we all feel that the term housewares is relevant. Would you agree with that? I hope so. So let's see what that looks like. And so now what I've done is I'm comparing that using that same concept or same methodology, the searches for refurbished in blue versus housewares in red. But I don't see any red. Do you? So what do you think that means? From a e-commerce or a digital search standpoint, the word refurbished is far more relevant, than the word housewares is, which is a little shocking, honestly. I was a little shocked myself. Now, Alaska does have a little red, and so maybe we need to go ahead and market housewares a little bit more in Alaska. Maybe there's a lack of supply there that we need to look into, but the bigger takeaway here is that I think we need to start thinking about the term refurbished as a bit more relevant. Is that fair? And that really segues well into my real goal today. I'm just gonna take a sip of water here. And that is to share with you that when marketed effectively, refurbished goods can enable brands to reach new market segments and create tremendous value for all their stakeholders. So I'm just gonna pause on that for a second, because this is not typically the statement that you see associated with refurbished goods. Usually it's what I've heard in the 30 years I've been in the distribution and now retail market. It's been, no, refurbished goods are bad. We have to get some costs back, but we don't want them sold anywhere our customers can see them. They're gonna cannibalize our sales. This is what I've heard from manufacturers for the last 30 years, and certainly since I joined Verdi and have focused primarily on refurbished goods. The case is, folks, that just ain't true, right? It's a myth that brands have been led to believe based upon what refurbished goods came from, right? It's not what they are today. It certainly isn't what refurb means from a circular economy perspective to today's consumers. And that's what we're gonna dive into today. So let me run you through our agenda so I can talk you through how I'm gonna walk you through that understanding of the fact that refurbished goods are in fact incremental. So first, we're gonna touch around the driving forces behind the refurbished opportunity. All right, what is it that's changing our society to a level where refurbished goods are now considered good versus bad or risky or cheap or broken? Then we're gonna talk about three specific customer segments that Verdi, through our research and our actual resale in the market, what we've identified is incremental markets, consumer markets for refurbished goods. And so these are the consumers that Verdi is targeting on a day-to-day basis on behalf of our brand, some of whom are in the audience today, to find customers with refurbished goods. Then we're gonna have another fun exercise. You may see I have some products up here, and so I'll get into the details of that later, but that'll be another point where I ask for even more engagement for a few folks to step up. So again, hopefully a few people will humor me with that. And then if we have enough time, I'm gonna jump back into Verdi Commerce specifically again and how we create a sustainable impact and value for our brand partners. And then we'll get into Q&A. Does that make sense?
Great.
I'm gonna take a sip as you kind of digest the slide because I know there's a lot on it.
So I expect many of you are familiar with the megatrend framework or concept, but for those who aren't, megatrends are characterized as deep and profound trends, global in scope and long-term in effect, touching everyone on the planet and shaping our world for years to come, okay? And so that's the pretty definition of it, but for us that are in the industry, where this would actually come into play is
anyone who's ever created a long-term forecast, right? And so I'm talking a forecast beyond 12 months. Whether you knew it or not, you likely were applying megatrends to your predictions, and that spans all industries. It's not just housewares. And so it may have been as a driver of growth of sales or production or whatever it is that you're forecasting, or it could be as an obstacle, right? And so there are tons of different ways that this framework is discussed and applied and described. And so that usually comes in a variety of different descriptions, but typically it's five impact categories. But today we're gonna apply those of PwC, a leading global consulting firm, and these are the five you see here. So rapid urbanization, the idea that more so than ever, populations are moving towards urban centers and away from rural areas. Demographic shift, the change in the consumer that we as brands or as resellers or whoever we are marketing to. Climate change, I think everyone understands. I'll get back into that. Digital transformation, also known as technological disruption, how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. And then, of course, emerging global wealth, simply the fact that there are far more relevant regions in the world buying consumer products than there were 10 years, 20 years, certainly 30 and 40 years ago. Okay, but there's the three in the center
are what we're gonna focus on because they represent the critical drivers behind the growth of demand and relevance for refurbished goods. And so starting with the demographic shift,
I'll just read here. Millennials surpassed baby boomers in population in 2019, and Gen Zs are expected to follow this year in 2024, right? And so I think most of us, whether we're in these generations or not, can understand that there's certainly gonna be a change of consumer behavior as the as our population changes, right?
And so with that demographic shift, becomes a huge consumer behavior change. Last year, millennial average household spending was second only to Gen X. And it's just a matter of time before they take the lead and then ultimately Gen Z follows behind them, right? And so how are these consumers gonna be spending and looking at brands and products differently than the consumers we are trying to market to today? I'll leave that as a hypothetical for now. Now let's move to climate change. As I mentioned, I think everyone understands the imperative behind climate change from an environmental perspective. But do we understand the impact on consumer behavior? 82% of consumers want to buy from brands that align with their values, and 80% of Gen Z millennials are willing to pay a premium for sustainable products. And so if anyone thought 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago, that this was going to be the case, they probably would have been laughed at, but these are facts. Consumer demand is changing, and that again is gonna play significantly into the growth of relevance for refurbished goods, which we'll come back to. And then finally, digital transformation. E-commerce sales grew to over $1.1 billion in 2023, which was an annual increase of almost 8%. That in and of itself is impressive, probably not shocking, but I think it's worth noting that the growth of retail, overall retail sales, e-commerce was four times that. So more people are buying via e-commerce. That growth is happening much faster than total retail, which again is not shocking, but it's another trend dominated by this generational demographic shift, which you're gonna continue to hear throughout this presentation. Millennials are spending 50% more via e-commerce than Gen X and 80% more than baby boomers. And so not only is the population trending this way, they're also spending more in a different way, right?
And so again, all of this is gonna loop in.
All three of these things play a significant role in the increasing relevance and subsequent demand for refurbished goods, but perhaps none more than the demographic shift. In fact, I wanna talk a little bit more about our understanding of the generational divide, because I think probably many of us are not fully sure of what each generation age range actually is, and I think that might change your perspective of it a little bit. So I'm gonna pause for a second just so everyone can understand this slide. Think about, did you know what generation you're in? I expect you did, but what about your kids? What about the people you interact with on a daily basis? I, for one, I turn 40 next month, and I'm an old millennial, an older millennial. And so I think there's a lot of misconceptions, sometimes true, sometimes not, that millennials are what? What do we think of when we think of a millennial? We think lazy and entitled and, you know, the technology age, right? But here's a millennial up here talking about consumer behavior and mega trends in front of a bunch of industry experts, right? And so maybe that changes your perspective of who a millennial is. Millennial is into their mid-40s. And that's obviously only growing older as time goes on. How about this for a second? The Gen Z and millennials, this is all from the US Census, by the way, make up more of our population today than Gen X and baby boomers. So all the things we just spoke about that are really being driven by this generational evolution now owns the majority of the population. And this numbers and this divide is only gonna grow. A quick joke, I gave this presentation earlier in the week, and the US Census had the silent generation ending at 79, and I got an email from someone saying, well, does no one buy product after 79? And I said, you know what? His name was Jeff. I said, Jeff, I will fix it. I'm gonna just put 70 plus. So you guys are benefiting from that. Okay, let me make sure I covered everything I wanted to there. So
just kind of in summation for this slide, Gen Z and millennials are more commercially relevant than ever and have different perspectives of products and brands than prior generations. And that's the key takeaway I want you to take from this slide. Now let's jump into my next driver. And that is our retailers. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, the best ability is availability. And that certainly comes to the case when we talk about this driver. What you see here are three of our largest retailers, e-tailers, however you want to refer to them, some of whom are in attendance, appreciate it, and their sustainability programs and their refurbished good programs. And so you see Walmart launches Built for Better Shopping, and they have their Walmart Restored program for refurbished goods. Amazon has a number of sustainability programs, but I'm just focusing on the Climate Pledge Friendly program here. Many of you may have seen this when you're shopping on Amazon, and they have their Amazon Renewed category. Target has Target Circle, a reference to the circular economy, and then they have their Target Refurbished and Pre-Owned category. And eBay and everyone else that's relevant from an e-commerce standpoint has a similar program like this. And so when we look at Walmart and Target specifically, they began merchandising refurbished items online a few years ago, but just last year, and I'm curious if anyone in the audience has seen this, Walmart has actually started in some stores merchandising refurbished goods on the shelf. Has anyone seen one of these? This is shocking. Are the world's biggest retailer, brick and mortar retailer, is now having refurbished goods on the shelf, right? That would have been unheard of years ago. And I think regional retailers and smaller niche boutique retailers would have refurbished goods, but not a national partner like Walmart. It's a significant change. Now let's move to Amazon. They were really the earliest digital giant to embrace refurbished goods. They started their renewed program in 2017. In fact, Zach Luddington from Amazon's Climate Pledge Friendly team was here last year on this floor, or on a floor not too far from it, giving a presentation about refurbished goods and the Climate Pledge Friendly program and why Amazon is investing so much into the exposure and the growth of this category and around sustainability. And he shared a couple stats that I'm just gonna highlight. This is directly from his presentation last year. It's actually still available as an audio recording on the IHA website. He said, 75% of consumers consider the use of sustainable materials to be an important factor in a buying decision. Then he said 53% of millennials, again millennials, are willing to forego a brand and buy other products that are environmentally friendly. So we think of brand as the number one asset, right? And typically it is. But there are actually consumers that are deciding to make a purchasing decision based upon sustainability over brand. Bose, Samsung, LG, who cares? I want to buy something that's sustainable. That's disruptive. That's something that's very, very powerful.
And so what I want to settle on here is the fact that I think we can all agree, we all shop at these retailers, probably all three. They have more data on us as consumers than any other organizations in the world. It's at least when it comes to consumer behavior and trends. So do you think that they would invest this much into sustainability and subsequently refurbished goods if they felt it was detrimental to their business or the business of their manufacturing partners?
Of course not. They know it's incremental. They see the tea leaves. They see the writing on the wall that refurbished goods are now becoming increasingly something sought after by consumers. And that also, and we'll get into this a little bit later if we have time, also by selling refurbished goods, they're participating in the circular economy, right? And so this not only becomes a boon for revenue and profits, but it also becomes, you know, a way to augment their ESG strategies.
So I want to now dive into the incremental customer segments that we at Verde have identified through research and practice and talk a little bit more about them and see if you can relate in any way. So again, based on our research,
there are three incremental customer segments that brands can incrementally reach by embracing a refurbished program, all right? And so these are the price-sensitive shopper, the brand aspirational shopper, and the eco-conscious shopper. And so let's dive into each in a bit more detail.
Yes,
the price-sensitive shopper is not new.
This is not any new phenomenon that there's people that actually prefer to buy less expensive products. Obviously, this has been around for a long time, but that technological disruption or digital transformation, as I had on my slide, is empowering a near frictionless e-commerce experience that allows them to have that much more power, plus recent, and then as they happen cyclically, macroeconomic headwinds like inflation obviously can drive this when the consumer has less disposable income. So who is this shopper? This is a shopper, as compared to the who we'll talk about next, that has an explicit need to make a purchase. Their coffee machine broke, and they obviously can't survive without coffee. Their washer machine doesn't work anymore, it's leaking, and so they need to buy one. This isn't a, hey, I'm gonna spend my time. This is, I'm gonna make a purchase in the next week or sooner, or my wife is gonna kill me. That's basically what this shopper is, right? And so while they need to make a purchase, their willingness to pay is really what's going to drive or direct what that purchase looks like. And so where refurbished goods come in here is that they allow brands to effectively implement non-disruptive price discrimination. So think about a tier one brand. I've got Cuisinart up here. Think about Cuisinart. If they wanted to reach this real price sensitive shopper, someone who's probably buying a much less expensive product, the only way they could do it is through discount. And how much does it cost a manufacturer to do a discount? A lot, right? They've got to create the program. They got to push the program through all their sales channels. They have to monitor the program to make sure no one's being a bad actor. And then they have to flow through back-end rebates to retailers and e-tailers, et cetera. Do you know how expensive and difficult that is to do? How much money is lost when they're doing that? Why not instead just have a refurbished product available all the time that's always available at a lower price point and allows you to reach this customer segment without having a discount? There's research out there that states that the availability of a refurbished good actually increases the overall revenue of a manufacturer, largely in part because they don't have to discount as much. Okay? So, significant incremental opportunity here for brands. Let's move on to the next.
The brand aspirational shopper.
So, very similar
to the price sensitive shopper, but instead of being driven directly by willingness to pay, it's far more so being driven by brand aspiration. The other key difference is this segment desires a brand or product largely because of engagement with that brand, whether it be social media, whether it be through retail signage or otherwise, but they don't have an explicit need. They don't have anything that's broken. They have a brand they'd like to buy, but they don't need it. And so I commonly refer to this as the sideline shopper. And this is a huge group. For every brand that markets themselves has these customers that would like it. You're probably all thinking in your head right now, man, it would be great to have this product, but do I really need it? No, probably not. And that probably not is ultimately comes back to the willingness to pay. But in this sense, with this customer, a refurbished offering puts the product on a trajectory to convert that desire into a need or a purchase in this case. And so I'm gonna give you a personal example. Has anyone ever heard of the Yeti Rescues program? So Yeti, one of the biggest brand on top of a pedestal brands out there, has a refurbished program. It's called Yeti Rescue, okay? And it's 25% off new. They have basically everything that you would want, and all of us probably have at least one Yeti product. It was likely given to us as a promotional program. I know I have like 7 tumblers at home from various things. I am in marketing and sales though, so of course, I guess I'd be predisposed to receiving those. But they also make these really awesome coolers, right? A cooler that can survive a bear attack, like that matters, but as a result is $400, $500, $600 for a cooler. For something that on the shelves at Walmart you can buy from a lesser brand for $49 or $99 at most, it's $500. But they're great, they do work really well. And my friend has had one, and I've seen it have beer in a cooler while we're out camping or doing whatever, and it's great. And so my wife and I recently, or several years ago now, got a pool. And my wife suggested, hey, why don't we get a Yeti? I know you've wanted one, so we can use that to keep drinks cool by the pool. I was like, yeah, that would be great, but I'm not gonna spend $500 on a bear-tested cooler, that's stupid. And she was like, well, Chris, I don't know if you know this, but they actually have a refurbished program now. Go take a look. And so I did, 25% off, and I bought it. right? And so this was me being put on a trajectory to take what was a desire, and it became a need. And so Yeti gained a customer for a, still even after discount was $300-something, order that they would never have gotten, right? And now I love it, and maybe I'll buy it new next time if I ever need to, but I shouldn't, because again, it can survive bear attacks, right?
So a little personal example, maybe as you're listening to this, you're thinking of similar situations that might be impactful to yourself.
Now my favorite, the eco-conscious shopper, and this is really where Verde really specializes. And so these are purpose-driven customers, and there's all kinds of purpose-driven customers. There may be people that are driven by ending homeless or ending poverty or solving global hunger. There's brands like Bombas and One Tree that do amazing things like that. But I want to dive into kind of the different variations or different flavors of this customer segment. Because, of course, within every customer segment, there's further segmentation below. And so we find that there's three principal streams, where it's important, where it's principal, and where it's critical, the sustainability eco side of the shopper. And so on the important side, it's they believe sustainability decisions are important but not exclusionary, meaning that they'll often consider a group of sustainable options but make a decision based upon price point. But sustainability at least comes into play as an importance. Then you move to principal decision makers. These are folks that where sustainability supersedes even willingness to pay. These consumers are willing to pay that premium for a refurbished good, like I mentioned previously, in that statistic, I believe, from Amazon. And then the critical. This is the most interesting group. This is the group that feels so strongly about buying sustainably and making a personal impact to sustainability, that if there's not an option that they deem sustainable, they forego the purchase altogether. Right? And so if you're a brand in a unique category, but you don't have a sustainable offering, even if they like your product, they're just not going to buy it because they don't feel like it aligns with their own personal goals and values. And so this is where refurbished goods really become a unique opportunity to hit this customer segment, because they're increasingly becoming the most accessible way for consumers to buy sustainable. Every consumer identifies with the fact that I'm buying a product that was used. I'm keeping a product out of the landfill. I'm making an environmental impact. And so you're seeing these consumers who would even be premium consumers at some point buying a refurbished product because not because there's a value to it, but because they are feeling a direct sense of impact when they do it. And so I want to share a couple stats from a survey we recently did from our direct-to-consumer site, Verde.com, which I think you'll find interesting. Of the customers surveyed, 42%, which was the highest response, shared that they were buying a refurbished item for the first time. So there's a lot of people. Most of the audience here has already bought a refurbished product before. I think we saw it was 80-20-ish. There's still a lot of consumers just coming to understand the value of a refurbished good, whether it because of a price point, a brand affinity, or because they know they're making a sustainable difference. But circling back to sustainable,
of those same customers buying refurbished items for the first time, 88%
communicated that sustainability was somewhat or extremely important when purchasing the refurbished good. So of those 41% of customers buying for the first time, almost all of them said they were doing it at least to a certain level because of sustainability. And now apply that to the changing demographic. We've got younger consumers coming into play. They've got more disposable income, and they care more about this than ever before. And I don't want to say that Gen X and baby boomers and the silent generation don't care about this, because they do, just not at the same rate that the younger generations do.
Okay, so in summary, when marketed effectively, refurbished goods can create tremendous value for brands appealing to incremental customers. Consumer behaviors are changing. Specifically, as the buying power of younger generations increase, those changes have fueled the global market for refurbished consumer goods to nearly $86 billion in 2022, and it's expected to grow beyond $262 billion by 2032. So to put that into context,
Samsung's global revenue last year was about $194 billion. Within 10 years, the global refurbished marketplace will be far larger than what Samsung does in total revenue globally. Just to give you guys a scope in terms of how large this market really is.
Now is the time to set your strategies to capitalize on this opportunity
with consumers who are thinking differently, buying differently, and that for the brand folks here, that your brand has an opportunity to engage with differently. Appreciate everyone participating through this portion of the presentation with me. If you're looking for more information on this subject, our team at Verde Commerce did publish an article in last month's Reverse Logistics Association magazine, rla.org, which you can see that dives into this topic in a bit more detail and includes a lot of the references for the statistics and the academic research that I've referred to throughout the presentation today. So feel free to take a look at that. Also feel free to speak to me afterwards or to any of the Verde team. There's quite a few of us here. We help brands reach these customers, and we'd love to help you or the brands you associate with go ahead and do that. So I do want to end before I jump into a little bit more about Verde, because it looks like I'll have some time, with another fun exercise. And so first I want to thank our brand partners who helped participate in this. So you'll see we've got two Cuisinart coffee makers here and two auto robotic vacuums from iHome. And so one is new, one is refurbished. And I'd like a few people to come up and see if they can tell the difference. Any volunteers? I won't bite. Anybody? Please, Mike, please, thank you. And if anyone else wants to come up, I just ask you don't pick it up because I have a piece of tape on the product so that you can keep me accountable to not lying based upon what people choose. And if anyone else wants to come up, feel free. Yeah, that's not part of it. But you can have some water, Mike. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Okay. I'm going to say...
Pause.
That's the refurbished.
Okay.
And that's the refurbished.
Okay, so you got one of two.
I think that's the refurbished and that's the refurbished.
Okay, you got two of two. But you had to really look at it pretty in depth. And what was it that you saw that made you think one way or the other?
This one has some scratches on it.
Okay. And then the coffee pot?
I kind of pick the way I pick horses, I guess.
Okay.
In part it was just the two labels. I was actually looking to see, I mean, it, unfortunately I have a little bit more knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking for, how would they have changed their design on that?
And so you see a design change.
Yeah, and then it was just simply a matter of, I thought that trends have been towards electronics to be a little less flashy.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a little bit more popping at you.
Okay.
So well, maybe they're going for more subtle. In terms of actually looking at it critically to make a judgment, like I would a used car.
Yeah.
There's not really a basis, not an easy basis for it. I mean, I'm sure if I, was very critical, but there's a scratch, but it could have been a scratch that happened in the store.
That's right. And how many of our appliances at home don't have scratches on them within the first 10 seconds? Especially if you have a dog, whoever I was referring to. I think, was it you, Mike, that their dog rides along the top? I mean, and so, yes. So this is the refurbished good indicated by a piece of tape, and this is the refurbished good indicated by a piece of tape. But the overall idea here was, and I'm glad, Mike, you mentioned the auto industry, because the auto industry, buying used, is not just, a significant, it's not a trend, it's a thing, and it's actually considered the wise thing to do, right? A lot of people say, you buy new, wow, you're an idiot. You should buy a used car, because as soon as you drive it off the lot, how much percentage do you lose? 30%? And so that's the same thing as when you take it out of the retail box. Same thing.
And so one other thing I wanted to share with this is just some insights around returns in general. So this was a survey done by Accenture, which is another leading global advisory firm, said that the majority of customers who return their products are simply not because of a defect, it's simply because it didn't meet their expectations. And obviously, I think we all know consumer expectations have gotten a little goofy, specifically how easy it is to return items, which drives that. And then diving deeper, 68% of returns, there were no trouble found, and 27% of the products returned were due to buyer's remorse.
Of all the returns they looked at, only 5% were actually had some level of defect. And so what does that tell us? These products were probably not defective. They were probably buyer's remorse. And so you're really getting a new product that's just been taken out of the box once when you're buying a refurb, 95% of the time. And so think about that from, you know, an understanding of the, is the product good? Is it gonna work? Is it damaged? Like most of the time, very often, it's not the case.
And so, Mike, we have about 11 minutes. Do you want to, how long do you think we should do for Q&A? Otherwise, I could talk for a few more minutes.
Well, first of all, let's ask if there's any questions right now. Right here, hold on a second, I'm gonna get you a microphone.
Sure, on the $86 billion and the $262 billion, is that overall or is that just housewares?
That's overall.
That's overall. Yeah, overall. So that, does that include cars and?
No. So this is electronics.
Oh, that's electronics.
Yeah.
Okay, and then?
Far greater if we include cars, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
And then on the refurbished, I mean, when you talk to consumers, how much is brand playing into that or do they just happen upon it and decide to buy it?
Yeah, so brand always is in play, right? And so it's always in play. There's always a value assessed to a brand, which is why brands spend so much marketing their brands. And so it's always a factor. What you're just starting to see, and thanks for the question, is these other factors playing a much more significant role alongside brand. So before it was brand, product, placement, price. Right, I think three P's plus a B, I mixed something up there. And so that's how everything was driven. Now you have to think about these generational evolutions that are happening, how consumers are looking at products differently, how they're interacting with products differently. And so, but brand will never not be important, except to that percentage who felt that sustainability was more important.
Any other questions? Because, okay. Mike?
So similar to the car industry, have you thought through the value add that's possible as well? You're not just creating an earlier purchase potentially to bring someone in. If you start trading in product, you can start to go after much higher price points.
Sure.
Because you've got an investment and then you actually getting to a price point, and the car market has actually gone into that. The phone market has actually gone into that. Is that part of your model in terms of what?
So it's a future state, a trade-in program. I think today, you know, we look at trade-in programs so that consumers, sustainable consumers, feel like there's even another life. Because even after buying a refurbished good, maybe that item in its form factor today isn't usable, but there's components, there's resources in it that are from a recycling standpoint. And so yes, the value of the product certainly comes into play, right? And so phones are very expensive. PCs, laptops, where this is also happening, are very expensive. If you have a $79 coffee maker, the trade-in becomes less valuable, but the resources don't, right? And so I think for goods, and I'm going to just arbitrarily give you a price point of, let's say, under $200 retail, that likely after the first refurbishment, second or third use, and then a trade-in becomes a recycle to, you know, revitalize those components more so than using it for a third or fourth life. So I think the price point really matters.
Related follow-up, so is it better to put the refurbished product into the same store as the pristine new version of the product, or should you separate the channels?
So it depends on your consumer, but I think, you know, what's Walmart doing? What's Amazon doing? Let's go back to that for a second. They're putting it in the same channel. Back to Amazon. Amazon does a phenomenal job. Any item you look at on Amazon, we'll call it, you know, this Panasonic projector. If there's a refurbished product available, you'll see it down below. So it doesn't pop up where you see used. That's not refurbished. That's just someone selling a used projector. But if it's been professionally refurbished and it's in their renewed program, you'll actually see a link below and say, this item is available renewed for XX savings. Yeah, save X. And so if Amazon thinks that, I want to go with them. And Walmart's doing it too now. Yeah. And there's, I think there's marketplaces, building Rebello and Backmarket, which have received hundreds of millions of dollars in investment over the last several years, which are just refurbished marketplaces. They don't even sell new goods. And so just another indication of, the growing demand.
Actually, I'd like to ask a question that's kind of more direct, because what's interesting to me is we talked about used cars, we talked about refurbished electronics. Are there barriers to consumer purchase of refurbished housewares? And it seems as if, if I'm going to market refurbished housewares, I want to know if there are barriers that I have to address.
Well, so I was going to show our website to show you how little barriers there are if you know about Verdi.com, because we have a lot of amazing housewares that are refurbished available. But I'd say I'm going to kind of, I think, pivot off your question a little bit to talk about how to know and be comfortable with when you're buying refurbished versus when you're not, and because I think that's a barrier or an obstacle for someone buying. And so look at where the warranty's from. If the warranty's from the brand, which is the case for about 97% of the refurbished products we sell because we interact directly with brands, then you know that brand has put their stamp of approval on it. And so that means they've either refurbished it themselves or they are overseeing the refurbishing process through a third party. And so that holds a lot of weight. Versus if you see the warranty is from a third party, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing, but it means likely that the brand didn't have direct oversight to it. And if there's no warranty, well, that is what you have to be concerned about. And I'm not saying you can't find phenomenal deals that way, but that means likely that someone has bought returns from a retailer and is selling it on their own without offering any return. And it's likely going to come at a much steeper discount as a result. But that's kind of how you see the certified refurbished, which has that branded warranty, to a third-party refurbished to spit and shine, right? And so did that answer a portion of your question? Other obstacles are, they're being removed as more retailers and manufacturers are focusing on this as an opportunity rather than a problem. And so, Amazon, Walmart, Target, eBay, you name it, refurbished goods are there and available at high levels, and you're going to see increasingly more national retailers, not just regional retailers, have refurbished offerings where it makes sense.
Do you have any other questions?
It's more of a comment than a question. So I just wanted to give a little bit of perspective from the actual brand I represent. Full disclosure, it will not survive a bear attack. But besides that, it's going to hold up pretty well in your home. But one thing I wanted to punctuate was what Chris said. So in my perspective, when the items come back, the grand majority are no problem found. So as he was saying, you're essentially getting a product that is like new. In our case, most of it is just maintenance. Customer may not have cleaned the roller, things like that. So it's something that the consumer is getting that is likely new, very little usage, and it's going back into the right back into the sales force. And it's something that, like you were saying, with the millennials and the next generation, they're looking for sustainability, and this is just the perfect fit. So, but I really wanted to give that perspective from the manufacturer to let you know that that is correct. A lot of these products, they're minimally touched, and they go back into to the sales force.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate that. And so just to finish off here, I want to share how we're leveraging our sustainability model, which is called Verde Resource Sustainability, to help our brands, not just in acquiring customers, that's part of our remarketing strategy, but also in meeting the demands of their stakeholders. And so for every product Verde.com sells, we are calculating the environmental impact that is created through that circulation of the product rather than it being put into a landfill unnecessarily. And so what we're doing is calculating all the different levels of impact it makes, from waste management, waste diversion from landfill, to climate action, prevention of carbon emissions, down to resource efficiency, which is keeping the plastic and the metal and the glass and the other various components in these products in use rather than in a landfill, and then avoiding the unnecessary production of new units while those units fill a unit of demand. And so this is the data that we are providing and creating and sharing to our brand partners so they can incorporate it into their ESG reports. And so we actually share with them on a quarterly basis an ESG impact report. Roger's gonna be getting his first not too long from now, which summarizes all of this data and flows it back to them in a way that they can communicate and leverage via marketing, social media, and of course in their own ESG initiatives, from a net zero target attainment to a waste reduction attainment, all the things that they're looking to do. And then just a view of the many brands that we work with that are gonna be on the floor today. Roger, obviously from my home here, that we work with in the housewares industry. And so whether it's a brand you represent or one that you might be talking to today, feel free to say, wow, I just heard a really cool presentation from Verde Commerce. They're doing really great things for refurbished goods. Thank you guys so much.
Let's thank Chris. I learned quite a bit, and since I do camp where there are bears, I'm going to look into the Yeti.
25% off.
Yeah, it's better than them clawing at
you. I do have business cards up here if anyone wants to grab a business card. Otherwise, this is my email address. Thank you.
All